Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, TD Michael Fitzmaurice on why rural Ireland needs a new political party to push back against the Greens, but he's not going to set it up. Pasta, bread, milk and eggs, how much more of our basics increased in price? Adam Maguire has been finding out. A stitch in time saves time and a trip to the shops. We'll find out all about how to mend and sew to make your clothes last longer. Brian O'Connell has been taking a look at how many rental properties are available for people who are in receipt of HAP, and he'll bring us that later. And do you have an itchy, scratchy pet at home? Well, our vet Sarah Boland has advice on pet allergies. So if you have any questions, do get in touch. 51551 is the text number. You can also email us. It's todaycb@rte.ie or on Twitter, we're at today with Claire. Now, first this morning, the government is expected to run a surplus of 10 billion euro this year, with a further 16.2 billion euro expected next year as that boom in corporation tax receipts continues. Earlier this morning, the Finance Minister Michael McGrath cautioned that the government can't rely on excess corporate tax receipts into the future. He said there's an acute need to be careful because if they get it wrong, it will come at a high cost down the line. In a moment, we'll speak to Gabby Agatafitzgaith, who's political reporter with the Irish Independent, about how that increased pressure to spend will play out in the run-up to the budget. But first, to Cliff Taylor, columnist with the Irish Times. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning, Claire.
So we have a bumper year this year, another bumper year next year. How long more do you think the government can keep telling us that we have to stay cautious about spending this cash?
Yeah, I think to an extent they're losing the argument, Claire. If you look at the Department of Finance forecasts, which were issued yesterday, one of the interesting things about them was that they not only talked about this year and next year, but for the first time looked beyond that. So the outlook is for these surpluses to remain or in fact grow according to the Department of Finance forecasts. So I think, you know, that does change the debate in the run-up to the budget and indeed in the run-up to the next general election. Now, the same old warnings are coming from the department about corporation tax revenues, our reliance on them, and how a lot of them might be transitory receipts. They could disappear very quickly. And that is correct. We are reliant on the fortunes of a small number of very big companies. And I think that is a reason why we do have to be careful in terms of spending this money. But so far, the corporation tax money keeps rolling in and there's no sign in the short term of that ending.
But, you know, people, and you mentioned this in the run-up to the budget, the general election, people will look at what they're earning and what they're paying in tax. There's likely to be huge pressure for tax cuts.
There will be big pressure for tax cuts, there's no doubt. And one of the interesting things will be to watch the politics of that, because obviously Fine Gael have pushed and argued for tax cuts over the last few years, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the run of this budget. I mean, there's always a case to do something on tax, and inflation is going up, so there's a strong argument, I think, to at least adjust the system so that people aren't worse off when they get wage increases and so on to compensate for inflation. But in terms of overall tax cuts, you know, it is the wrong time probably to do that, because the economy is growing so strongly. Big additional tax cuts would add more cash to the economy, would add to inflation at a time when we don't need that. I mean, arguably the economy needs to be cooled down a bit at the moment rather than heated up anymore. And I think the other reason why significant tax cuts would be a mistake is the reason that that we spoke about there, which is that a lot of these corporate tax receipts could be temporary. They could disappear overnight. And we saw, I think, in the run-up to the financial crash, how painful the kind of transition is if money disappears overnight, and how tax cuts 1 year can be followed by pretty significant tax increases and spending cuts for next year.
So maybe the temptation might be to do a one-off big bang spend. So if we look at where the big demand is, it's in housing. But the government has already committed huge sums to that issue. And we see from recent figures that they're not able to spend what they've allocated.
Yeah, it is a bit of a conundrum exactly how to plan the next few years now with these figures in mind. And I mean, one of the issues on housing, will there be more spent on housing and health? Absolutely, there will be, I think, in the light of these figures. But the real issue at the moment in areas like that is getting the work done. It's finding builders. It's getting houses built at a reasonable cost. It's getting planning permission. It's getting things through the system. So to an extent, you know, cash isn't the problem here anymore. The problem is actually getting things done. So I think there will be more money spent there. But I think another way of looking at this and something useful that could be done, and it looks like it will be done, is to put some of this money away. We already have a rainy day fund of about 6 billion euro, which is available if things go wrong quickly. Now Michael Abad, the finance minister, is talking about a longer-term investment fund. And I think he still has to outline how he would see that working. But I think the point there is that, look, we saw in previous recessions how when the money disappears, then investment is cut very heavily as well, and we pay the price very heavily in years to come. So at the moment, we're still paying the price in terms of housing cutbacks and spending on housing cutbacks and health that were made during the financial crash because these services just haven't been developed quickly enough. Mm-hmm. So if we could put money away and plan things a bit better, then we would have that cash when the bills come in future years as the economy slows, and we could actually keep a high level of investment, you know, even if recession hits or slower growth hits in the years ahead. And that would be really valuable, I think.
All right, Cliff, thank you very much. Cliff Taylor there, economist with the Irish Times. And as I said, Gabia Gadafiscaita is with us as well, news reporter at the Irish Independent. So, Gabia, what's your take on this? Are we looking at a windfall budget in the autumn on foot of these, what we're seeing in terms of tax receipts for this year and the economic forecast for next?
Well, I think it would be very difficult for government ministers to be going around saying, look, we've loads of money and here's the proof. And the budget time comes around and there's no sign of that money. So there will be an onus, especially on Fianna Fáil Minister Michael McGrath, who's of course Minister for Finance now, really the onus on him to spend the cash a little bit. You know, his predecessor, Pascal Donoghue, of course, he's in the Department of Public Expenditure, but he would have been known as Prudent Pascal when he was in that finance portfolio. And Michael McGrath, you know, I think there will be pressure, certainly from within the party, to spend a little bit of that money. And even speaking on Morning Ireland this morning, you know, he's saying he's not ruling out any cost of living supports. He's saying that he's given a commitment that there will be measures in the budget both to attract and retain investment in the rental sector. So perhaps something for landlords that's been long promised, you know, didn't really materialise in the last budget. So look, the money is there, the figures are there. Yes, you can't rely on a lot of it because it is very volatile in nature. However, when the country is facing such a cost of living crisis and the government is sitting on a lot of cash, you know, I think it has to spend some of it.
Yep, the pressure will certainly be there. I also wanted to ask you about the Fine Gael TD for Carlo Kilkenny, John Paul Phelan, and his decision that he's not going to contest the next election whenever that comes. Why is he stepping down? A fairly detailed statement, Gabia, from him this morning.
Yeah, quite interesting here last night from John Paul Phelan. So he told the Fine Gael Carlo Kilkenny constituency AGM last night that he won't be running again. Now, Mr. Phelan is only 44, which is, you know, it's quite young for a politician, but he suffered a very serious heart attack 3 years ago. And in his detailed statement, he said, look, at the height of the pandemic, it all nearly came to an end for me. Very few people get a second chance. I've gotten one. I've been one of the lucky few. He's saying, he was talking to his doctor and the doctor asked him what his job was. He told me he was a politician. And when I told him my job, we both laughed. And so it really seems to be for health related reasons that he's not going to seek that Fine Gael nomination. He's saying politics, you know, it's a 24/7 job. You know, I've given everything to politics since I was at first elected to Kilkenny County Council at the age of 20 and still a student. He's, of course, served not just as a TD, but as a senator, a councillor and a junior minister. Interestingly, he's also saying he wants to reassure the men and women who put their faith and trust in me that I am not disappearing from political life. So it's not really clear what that means, but it really shines a light as to the headache that the Leo Varadkar now has.
I took that to mean that he will be there until the next election, that he's not giving up the ghost now today with this statement. But you're right, it is ambiguous. You know, you could read into that. He is one of several Fine Gael TDs, as you mentioned there, a headache for Leo Varadkar, who are saying they're not standing. Do you expect there will be more?
Yes, yeah, so of course you've already heard from Brendan Griffin and Kerry, Joe McHugh and Donegal. They've said they're not going to contest the next election. Look, some of the names that are doing the rounds, it's not very clear on whether those politicians have made decisions or not yet. You know, certainly people who would have been TDs for a long time, Bernard Durkin and Kildare, you know, because Joe Carey and Clare, another one. And it really shines a light onto this challenge that Leo Varadkar now has. You know, he's not gained seats in the general election. He's vowed to gain, I believe it's 10 seats in the next election. Like, how is he going to do that? And you can't just have any candidates. You need to have the best candidates, from his point of view, in a constituency, because, of course, Sinn Féin are going to be running, you know, two or three candidates in some constituencies. They're going to be giving it the full welly. And the pressure really will be on him to come up with these candidates. I suppose, in a way, it's good that he's heard from the three TDs now that they're not going to be running again, because it gives him time to go out and find who those replacements might be.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be speaking to the TD, Michael Fitzmaurice, in just a minute, Gabia. And the Daily Mail tells us this morning that he's issued this rallying cry for a new party representing farmers' interests. What do you think? Is he the one? Now, he says he's not the one to lead it, but do you think that he might be able to unite rural TDs under one banner?
Yeah, this is quite interesting from Michael Fitzmaurice, Roscommon TD in the Irish Daily Mail. He's sort of criticising the groupings that are there at the moment, which of course are the rural independent groupings. So you have Verona Murphy, the Healy Rays in there, just to name two. And then you have the regional independents, which, you know, have TDs like Dennis Nocton and Sean Canny. And he's sort of saying, look, you know, now is the time to sort of come along and save rural Ireland. He doesn't have much time for the Green Party, of course, but he's looking to gain, you know, if this party was to come to fore, he could gain 15 seats in the next election. And to be fair, like, I think he could be onto something there. I mean, even if we saw how slim the margin was in the Dáil over these crucial votes in the past couple of weeks, we saw, you know, ministers having to, Housing Minister Dara O'Brien going and talking to rural TDs, you know, rural TDs being able to give their two cents on government housing policy, and Dara O'Brien saying, OK, we can do this, we can't do that. You know, real debate and discussion going on. Like, that just shows how much power independent TDs actually do have. And if they were to come under one umbrella, perhaps, you know, that could mean actually a big change.
All right. Well, we'll see what he has to say after this break. Gabia, thank you very much for now. Gabia Gadifiscate there from the Irish Independent. Michael Fitzmaurice is next.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.